This was an initiative that Canada launched last Friday with our partners, UNICEF, UNMISS, and a host of embassies. We had 13 ambassadors around the table, and it's growing. Mm-hmm. This was really intended to demonstrate the international community's concern over grave violations of children in South Sudan, and the continued work for need for work by the international community and by our partners to end these violations and to secure the release of children from the ranks of armed groups. I think this is a good initiative at this time, as we see some sort of consensus emerging that children are among the most vulnerable and should not be the victims of grave violations. We have seen, you know, that issues of children are universal and sort of unite all people around the world, that they need to be protected and that we need to end violations of their rights.
Great. So what do the group intend to do exactly? How are you going to go about it?
I mean, really, it's a forum to discuss issues related to children and armed forces and armed groups. These types of groups of friends exist around the world, really as a means to bring profile to an issue that the international community considers important, and to work with our partners, both in the UN system, UNICEF and UNMISS, and with our partners here in South Sudan, to discuss ways to help prevent the violations of children's rights. In South Sudan, you know, we have... We have action plans signed by the Sudan People's Liberation Army, as well as by SPLA-IO, and it's our intent to follow up on those action plans with the parties who have committed to end violations of children's rights and to release children from their ranks. So the intent here is really with the support of UN Information for the group of friends, which is ambassadors from a wide range of countries, to get together and use our channels to advance the children's rights agenda.
Now, children's rights agenda, when we look at the whole picture here, it can only be respected, especially in a country where there's peace, where there's total peace, and makes it even more easier. Now, with the revitalization process coming on, what role will your government play in order to ensure that, well, peace comes to South Sudan and the children are somehow protected?
Well, absolutely, Sebit. And I should clarify, of course, this is not an initiative of Canada alone. First of all, Sweden, the government of Sweden graciously accepted to co-chair this initiative with Canada. But also, this is really a broad coalition, including African countries, Asian countries, and European, North American countries working together with the South Sudanese parties. I think that your point on the revitalization process is very apropos. We saw, for example, in the December 21st cessation of hostilities agreement, numerous commitments by the parties to end grave violations against children, as well as a commitment to immediately upon signature release from their ranks any children who may be there. So, you know, I think it's very much front of the agenda in the revitalization process. And the parties, it's very encouraging to me, the parties in Addis, with a lot of different issues on their agenda, some very important and challenging topics, they saw fit to include children at the front of the agenda. So I think that's a demonstration that this is something that all parties in South Sudan can get behind, that they recognize that it's time to end violations against children, and we're going to support that. There'll be follow-up needed, I think, including through the ongoing discussions of the revitalization process about how to affect this. But more importantly, our group of friends will be focused on following up on long-standing action plans. We know that discussions with the SPLA have been ongoing since, UNICEF here could give us an exact date, but many, many years. And there has been progress made in terms of identifying some of the steps to be taken. As a group of friends, we're also looking to get a recommitment to action plans earlier signed by SPLA-IO, of course, from the first vice president, as well as from Riek Machar's faction. And we hope to push for the release of all children associated with those armed groups in the future as well. So in a way, there's an aspect of this which is related to the revitalization process, and there's an aspect of it which has been ongoing for a long time, and that we will continue to advance together with UNICEF and UNMISS for a long time to come.
All right, thank you. We'll get back to you. Let's first talk to Sampati here in the studio. Welcome once again. You work directly with the children, especially in emergencies, as a protection specialist. Tell us some of your concerns. I mean, some of the main concerns of South Sudanese children at the moment. Just explain for us and why this partnership is very important for UNICEF.
The key concerns of children's protection is the family separation and the recruitment to armed groups and other types of right violations. And it is very important to have this group in place. Especially their advocacy is very important to make sure these children are protected during any emergency.
Mm-hmm. Now, why is this partnership very important for you? I mean, diplomats coming together and with the United Nations to you know, help the children. How important is this to the work of UNICEF?
It's very important to continue the advocacy and put pressure on the armed groups who are really recruiting children, and also to put pressure on the parties who signed the action plan to implement the action plan and make sure children are released and they have better future. So it's in that sense, it's very important to work with this group.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and just giving us the statistics, do we know how many children at the moment are in the armed forces that you're advocating for their release?
According to reports, most reports are verified, and more than 19,000 children have been recruited into armed forces and groups since 2013.
All right. If you just join us, you're listening to the Mirror Breakfast Show, and I'm glad to tell you that my guest today here, we are discussing and looking at how children can be protected, and that's a group of diplomats coming together with the United Nations to ensure that these children are actually helped. And this initiative is aimed to gather support for the United Nations to ensure all parties to the conflict remove children from their ranks in order to put an end to all forms of violation against children. Ambassador Alan, you did mention earlier that there are action plans that needed to be taken, both short-term and long-term. Just take us briefly about the short-term, the immediate action plan that this group is going to take. What are they?
Well, I think we could turn to UNICEF for some of the granular details. I know that there are parties who have children in their ranks and who are preparing indeed to release some children into reintegration programs. And these need to be comprehensive, and there are many, many steps required to, in a context like South Sudan with such economic difficulties, to ensure that released children are provided for. I would turn to maybe Sampati to outline some of the immediate steps in the action plans.
Yes, Sampati, please. Go ahead.
Together with the National Disarmament and Demobilization Commission, and also with UNMISS, we have been working to secure the release of some 700 to 800 children associated with armed groups. We expect the release to take place in Yambio in February. The children have been serving in the ranks of South Sudan National Liberation Movement. Currently, National DDR Commission successfully verified 585 children, and verification is still ongoing. The numbers will be a bit higher than the current statistics. So this release we expect to be done in February.
Yes, February, around 700 and 800 children expected to be released, and you did mention in Yambio. What happened next after the relief of these children? Do they just go to their families? I mean, these are children who have seen things, they've been in the conflict, and what kind of help will you and the group be providing for these children?
They will be provided with comprehensive social and economic reintegration services, this including interim care and family tracing and full case management support, and also the long-term support like access to education, health, livelihoods. So it's a comprehensive reintegration process that we are planning to provide them immediately after the release. But it will take maybe after the release at least, you know, 1 to 2 weeks time to make sure the proper verification and the registration again for these relevant services, because a basic assessment is very important to identify what type of supports they need.
Yes, and I remember some time back UNICEF, working with other partners as well, secured the release of quite a number of children from the Tiger, I mean like the Jabra battalion of David Yao, where some children were released. And you know, some of these children after that were frustrated. They have to go back to the army. What is going to be different this time? What's going to be made different to ensure that children don't come back and, you know, find that it's more even difficult for them to catch up with the rest of the world than where they were before?
I agree with you, because really it is, and the reintegration, it's not easy, especially in the current context of South Sudan, with the current infrastructure and the current administrative, the frequently changing administrative structures. But with the lessons learned from the previous releases, we have plans in place. So to make sure that the children do not join armed groups again. So we have good plans in place, strategies in place, and we are very much ready for the upcoming release to make sure that children are protected, well protected.
Mm-hmm. I think it's also, you know, obvious, Sebit, in a context of continuing insecurity and armed conflict, that it will be impossible to ensure the permanent release of all children when there's conflict ongoing, because there will be incentives from the other direction. Mm-hmm. I think this is a very important work that UNICEF and UNMISS are doing in Yambio, and they are going forward very mindful of some of the risks that I think you're flagging. But of course, we have to also continue to work to ensure the implementation of the cessation of hostilities agreement, and you know, working towards a durable peace in South Sudan. Because only when we can really ensure there's no more armed conflict and insecurity, will there be no more incentives for youth to who are released to rejoin the ranks of a group. So I think that's where we want to go. But we recognize this is a long, long process and a difficult one. But in the interim, we do need to take these opportunities when they emerge, when there are groups that are able and willing to release children from their ranks. We go forward mindful of the risks, doing everything we can to ensure that they get what they need when they are released. They get a meaningful reintegration package, which I think Sempathy is describing, and doing our very best to return those children to lives of study and so they can have bright futures.
As you did mention earlier, that this release will, I mean, and this work will require a lot of budget for the children to, you know, be able to reintegrate into the society and to really be helped. How much are we talking about here? How much are your government, is your government willing to pay out there to help this particular process and initiative?
Sebit, maybe Sympathy can speak to budget, but I think that that's indeed one of the purposes of having a group of friends with partners from all around the world, is to ensure that the situation of children's rights in South Sudan has a strong profile, that it's visible, and that it's at the front of the agenda, so that as funding requirements emerge, donors around the world are aware and are engaged with the issue. Canada, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but Canada is a generous supporter of both UNICEF and, of course, the UN mission. But I think this is more than a Canadian initiative. This is an international group of friends, and we're ensuring that as funding requirements emerge, that our governments will be aware and engaged with the issue.
Yes, you said this is an international group of friends. Why is this partnership very important with UNMISS and with UNICEF? Why is it critical for the group of friends on South Sudan to, you know, form this partnership? Just explain for us briefly before we end this interview.
I think at the end of the day, Sebit, you know, children being among the most vulnerable, and yet we see 245 million children around the world who live in contexts of armed conflict. Indeed, over the last few years, there's been an alarming rise in violations around the world of children's rights. This is something that, of course, specialist agencies like UNICEF and UNMISS Child Protection work on in a way, a low profile behind the scenes. And it's a purpose of a group of friends is to bring that sort of diplomatic advocacy, to bring our to put a spotlight on the issue, to ensure our governments are plugged in, and then to use the channels that we have to engage with the parties and promote this issue and promote, you know, their recommitment to release children from their ranks and do everything they can to end violations of children's rights.
Alan, thank you. We'll come back to you for your final remarks. But let's first go to Sempathy. What will be your final remarks?
Children actually should be released from all armed forces and groups as per the signed action plan, and it is a commitment from both the parties. So we really want the government of South Sudan and the group of friends to support these efforts to make sure all children are released from armed forces and armed groups.
Thank you. Thank you, Sempathy. Alan?
I just think, Sebit, at the end of the day, issues of children are universal. This is an area where we can work constructively with the government, with the SPLA leadership, and with opposition groups. You know, working for the prevention of violations and in resilience programs can be an incentive for peace. We know that it won't be easy, but we're going to continue to work to release children and support vulnerable communities in protecting children's rights.